20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can get all of your Pack-A-Day updates by following us on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. And remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. And of course, you can always check us out at cheeseheadtv.com. I am Maggie Loney, not Kyle Fellows, and I'm joined by one of my co-hosts this week, Andrew Mertig. Andrew, it is Friday. How are you feeling?
Yeah, doing really well. Obviously this is starting to really get into draft season. I think we're 34, 35 days away from the NFL draft, so 5 weeks from tonight. Kyle, you, and myself will be breaking down the Packers' first-round picks, we think. So very exciting.
Yeah, we hope so. We hope there's multiple picks and not multiple trade backs out of the first round trades back. But we did get a little bit of NFL news today as it pertains to the Packers. I know there was some interest from Green Bay about retaining Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and he has today signed with the Kansas City Chiefs on a 3-year, $30 million deal, which is pretty much what he was looking for on the open market. So kudos to MVS, and I guess kudos to the Packers for not having to pay that. But now their wide receiver room is even more of a question mark. So Andrew, any quick thoughts on the MVS signing and his departure to the AFC?
Yeah, a few things. I mean, number one, good for MVS. Glad to see anybody who gets a chance to go out and show that they've developed over the years, coming out as a fifth round pick and then really showing a lot of development as a player. Obviously still a ton of upside in MVS's career. Go get paid. I have a feeling he's going to have a really nice season with Patrick Mahomes. I think that Chiefs offense is going to work to his skill set really well. And I love the idea of bringing MVS back to Green Bay. But the problem is, as a returning player, you bring somebody back because they have chemistry with your quarterback. And I don't know that MVS and Aaron Rodgers have ever really had chemistry. And I don't know whose fault that is. I'm not playing the blame game. It just never seemed to totally click. And so I'm happy for MVS. I'm happy that he's going to get a chance to go and prove that he can be the player that we all kind of hoped and dreamed as that, 6'3", 6'4", athletic freak. And hopefully he is just yet another former Packers wide receiver lighting the AFC West on fire next season.
Yeah, we can only hope. There seems to be a lot of those departing for the AFC West. So hopefully no more Packers or future Packers are, on their way to the AFC. But Andrew, we have a special guest, so I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce them.
Yeah, we do. So we are joined this week by Dan Dahlke, who is a contributor to the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide. Dan loves the draft, just like we all do, and is an expert on this year's linebacker and running back classes. He told us right before we started recording, he's been doing the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide for 6 years. And so that kind of longevity certainly brings a lot of experience to the conversation. And I know what you all might be thinking, aren't the Packers pretty set at those two positions? And I would say, no, they are not. Quit talking back to me. Anyways, we are excited to have Dan back to give us an update on how these positions are looking and who the Packers might target in the draft. So, Dan, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on. I always look forward to this every spring, and I'm excited to talk about the draft and kind of take the next steps this offseason. So I appreciate you guys having me here.
All right. So let's get started here. I know the big news of the sort of defensive offseason was bringing back Devondre Campbell, and obviously that's a really big deal. But there is another linebacker that gets to play next to Devondre at least part of the time. And some fans aren't necessarily super optimistic about Chris Barnes, although I would disagree maybe a little bit for a linebacker too. But I think it's fair to start at the top of the draft. And Devin Lloyd, the linebacker from Utah, is getting a lot of buzz as linebacker one. What do you think of him? And is there any chance the Packers would invest pick 22 or 28 in Devin Lloyd?
Well, I really like Lloyd. I think he's a really good Pac-12 player. He's dynamic. He offers something special at the position. Although I see him, as a late first round, player. I know a lot of, some mock drafts have him in the teens, things like that. But I think he's got average size and speed for the position. But he does do a few things that are really special. And his game is very versatile. And he's kind of that off-ball linebacker that can blitz off the edge and, get some pressure. He had 8 sacks last season, and he's also decent in pass coverage. So I think he's a very, very solid inside linebacker prospect, but I also don't think he's anything super special like we've had in the past with like Micah Parsons or Roquan Smith or any of those things. So I do think at the top of this inside linebacker class is a little weaker than what we've seen in the past, but I would be absolutely shocked if the Packers spent their first one of their first round picks on an inside linebacker. I don't think that's in their history, and I don't think that there's really any guy in this class that is just so special that if he's there at the end of the first round, they have to take him. So I love Devin Lloyd, but I do not expect him to be a Green Bay Packer this spring.
Just a super quick follow-up question. Is Devin Lloyd's birthday printed on the back of the Declaration of Independence, or why is this such a trade secret that I can't find it anywhere?
I know. Because he is an older linebacker, and it is hard to find his exact age. But I think if I had to guess, he's 23. Is that that?
We actually got into this on one of the Twitter spaces we were doing back a day. And somebody was like, well, he graduated high school in, I think it was like 2017 or something. Yeah. So we were trying to figure it out based on that. But I don't know why.
I know. I was trying to find it too for the draft guide, and I had the hardest time finding it. So I don't know what's going on.
It's a good chance that N'Kobe Dean out of Georgia is your crush instead at the inside linebacker position. So Dan, wanted to ask you what you can tell us about N'Kobe Dean, and given what the Packers just invested in Devondre Campbell, does taking an inside linebacker in, you know, even the first 3 rounds make a ton of sense to you?
I think Dean's really a really good player. I don't expect first round at all. I wasn't going to say second round, but the fact that they now have 2 second round picks, and if they keep both of them, then maybe, you know, one of those picks they take inside linebacker. I am more expecting 3rd, 4th, 5th round like they normally do. Maybe 3rd as the earliest. And kind of looking at this draft class of linebackers, I think the strength is in day 2. I don't think, again, Lloyd and Dean are solid, but I don't think they're as high of prospects as previous years. And I think, you know, Dean is a good player. He's going to be a good pro, but I don't think he has that like special trump card to play at the position that where you have to take him in the first round. I actually have him as a second round grade. So a little lower than maybe the national consensus on him. I think he's got great instincts, but average size, who knows what his speed is testing wise, but game speed's decent because he is so smart, but he does lack some open field athleticism, a little stiff in his hips and in movement, and can be a liability in coverage at times. So you're talking like a pro that's going to be probably a pretty good starter, but maybe not a special all-pro type of player. And actually, one guy that I think people tend to leave out of the conversation is Christian Harris out of Alabama. I think he's got a lot of upside and high ceiling. But again, maybe a guy you take in the second round that could be special, but a little bit more risk. And so my assumption is Packers go 2nd, 3rd round at the earliest, but probably realistically 3rd or 4th round at the position if they're going to address it in the draft.
Yeah, so there's always one player every year that I have crazy low and people give me grief about it. That's going to be N'Kobe Dean this year. I have linebacker 8.
Linebacker 8
and like a pretty solid 3rd round grade on him. I just think he's too small. I loved what I saw on tape, but like he's like a safety trying to play linebacker. Plenty of people will disagree with me. He'll go on to be a Pro Bowler and prove us both wrong. But so you mentioned, you know, maybe that 3rd, 4th round, there's kind of a glut of linebackers that appear to be graded right in that mid round area. And one of those, we don't necessarily have to talk about him today. Damon Clark from LSU, the news came out that he's going to need spinal fusion surgery. He's basically written off for his rookie year. And so I don't know if that necessarily, if the Packers would be interested in redshirting somebody, but there's a lot of guys to like there, including Chad Muma from Wyoming, Darian Beavers from Cincinnati, Leo Chenal from Wisconsin, Troy Anderson from Montana State, probably some others you could even throw into that mix. I know you talked about Christian Harris, although maybe he's a little bit higher up on the list. So like anybody that really catches your eye out of that group.
Yeah, I love Chad Muma, and I ever since near the end of the 2021 season, I've been like, this guy's going to be good. And I think I was on this podcast 2 years ago talking about Logan Wilson from Wyoming. And he was my guy, and he's become a pretty good pro. And I think Chad Muma is a lot like Logan Wilson, but maybe a little bit more explosive. So I think you're talking a really good player, and I don't know what's in the water there, but they develop really good linebackers in Wyoming. And so a guy who's good in coverage, he showed that at the Senior Bowl that he can play well in coverage at the highest level. And he's really athletic, but super smart, you know, really reliable. And if you're looking for like a true off-ball linebacker, I think Chad Muma's the guy. You know, Lloyd can do some different things and is versatile. Same with Christian Harris, where they can rush off the edge. But you're talking like an actual, just true inside linebacker. I think Chad Muma's one of the most solid, maybe this one of the safest picks in this class. And so if the Packers took him in the second round, I would be elated. I would think he'd be a great fit with Campbell. Couple other guys, though, like you said, Leo Chenal, I think is really interesting from Wisconsin, and Darian Beavers from Cincinnati. They're both got these unique size and athletic profiles. But I think, though, like a team like the Packers, if they take Chenal or Beavers maybe on day two, that they actually make them into edge rushers because of their athletic profile and how explosive they are. But I think Beavers is a really interesting prospect because last year he played off the edge more and showed that he can do that. But I actually think he's best and like at a lighter weight playing off ball. So if you look at his like 2020 tape, he's faster, he's quicker, he's playing in the 230s, and he's really athletic in space. And then he bulks up to the 250s and plays off the edge in last season. And so he looked a little slower. So I think for Darian Beavers, if you want a true, look at him, look at his 2020 tape when he's a little bit quicker. But like you said, there is a gluttony of day two prospects, and I think some of them will fall into the fourth round. They always go a little later than we think because of the value of the position. But yeah, there is a ton of guys that are interesting. But I could go on and on, but one more I'm going to throw out there is the kind of the diamond in the rough of the class is Channing Tindall from Georgia. I think people are really sleeping on this guy. He's got electric speed, and it's because I think people are overlooking him because he was never really a starter at Georgia. He split series with Quay Walker, and I actually think Tindall is the most dynamic athlete out of that group. So out of those Georgia linebackers, and he really flashes impressive ability, and he will chase down guys and is highly active. And I actually think he's better coverage player than people give him credit for. So I think Tindall's got a higher ceiling than N'Kobe Dean, which is kind of a crazy take. But I think this guy has the best football ahead of him, and he didn't quite put it on the field yet. But I think once he figures out the mental part of the game, he could be pretty electric. And so I think that's a guy that maybe he falls to like the third round and could be end up being a really good player at this position.
Yeah, so you kind of gave a couple sleeper picks already, and I love the Darian Beavers mention, so I was happy to hear him. I'd love to see him play edge. That would be fantastic. But how about any sleeper linebackers that you have that you could see the Packers looking at, you know, day three, late day three, fifth, sixth, seventh round, kind of Isaiah McDuffie, you know, where the Packers had to go out and then grab Devondre Campbell because they weren't necessarily sold with the inside linebackers that they took in the draft, maybe, you know, high RAS guys or somebody that can play special teams?
Yeah, I think if you're really looking for a good special teams guy in day three, the guy I love for that is DeMarco Jackson from Appalachian State. I think he's got some growth to, you know, he's got some progress needed in his mental processing. And at times, you know, you would see him take some plays off, which I think is concerning. But he is a really great athlete, and I think he ran in the 4.5s at the combine. And he's, you know, plays in the 230s. He's got good size, but really quick, really agile. And he was like a special teams ace at Appalachian State. He was, even though he was the Sun Belt Defensive Player of the Year, he played on kickoff coverage, he played on punt team, and he made really big impact plays on special teams. So you're talking about, you know, the Packers who need a special teams overhaul. I would circle DeMarco Jackson as a guy. If he's there on day three, fourth or fifth round, I think he'd be a good pickup. And, you know, just a dynamic guy who made a living at the line of scrimmage and made a lot of plays behind the line of scrimmage. And yes, you'll see him whiff and you'll see him, you know, sometimes miss a guy out in space, but he's going to also make a lot of plays, you know, especially, you know, behind the line of scrimmage. I think he had 19 tackles for loss last season and 12 quarterback hurries. So here's a guy who can blitz and can run down ball carriers. And he, you love a lot of like his traits, but then he's also got some just really boneheaded plays. So again, some, maybe a guy who like, if you take on day three, he has a role right away as a special teams guy. And then maybe eventually with some, the right coaching can be a pretty good linebacker in a few years. One other guy I would mention, there's a lot obviously, but the Chance Campbell, I think out of Ole Miss is a guy that I think could go late on day three. So like maybe fifth or sixth round. And he's really, really solid. I think when I was like watching his tape, I just kept noting over and over, just consistent, solid, reliable. I kind of like a Blake Martinez, you know, type of player. And I got another guy with some special teams experience. And so he, I think he also runs in the 4.5. So I think the Packers, you know, I think we know them well. They're going to want guys with speed and athleticism and a lot of like upside at the position.
All right. So this was not one of my planned questions, but I can't let you get off of linebackers until we talk about Brandon Smith from Penn State, because he's a personal draft crush of mine. And anything you like or dislike there?
Yeah, actually before the 2021 college season, I had him as my potential first linebacker. I really liked some of his tape in 2020. And then I think he took some steps backwards, but I really like his like athletic profile. So the size, the speed, the explosiveness, but you do see some hesitation with the processing. I didn't think he was always reliable in coverage, but kind of like what we said with Darian Beavers, I think Smith could offer something as a pass rusher or edge player, and he's got that size, and I think he has that really rare athleticism. I do think he's going to get drafted earlier than maybe his even tape suggests. So I would think he'd be that late day two kind of player.
Yeah, I'm always just a really big sucker for guys who have unicorn athletic traits. Yeah. And maybe haven't figured out how to play football yet.
Yes,
and
yeah, that's a good way.
You take the chance that maybe they're going to turn into a superstar. But anyways, we got to transition over to running backs. And it does seem that the Packers are set there with Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, Patrick Taylor, and then, of course, Kylan Hill returning from the ACL injury. But as a self-declared draft person, you know, I was wondering, you know, who do you have at the top of your draft? Because I know who I have, and it's probably not popular. So,
yeah, I just finished my write-ups for the running backs this week in the draft guide. And it's kind of funny to like each guy be like, all right, after Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, this guy can find a role. And so I was trying to look for like guys that maybe offer something they don't already have, which we can talk about later. But kind of the top guys I have, I actually think the most polished running back in this class is Isaiah Spiller. I think he's got the best balance, the best vision, and he's not as explosive as Hall or Walker. And a lot of people love Kenneth Walker, which I think he's got a lot of promise, but he also has a lot of inexperience and didn't really play a big role in the passing game. Not to say he can't. I'm not going to A.J. Dillon him here. But, you know, I think he has good hands, but when you don't see a lot of the evidence in college, it makes you maybe just bring him down a notch. But I do like Breece Hall and Isaiah Spiller a lot. They're both, you know, backs with good balance, they're physical, they have great hands, they're productive. And I know Spiller didn't quite test as everyone wanted, but I don't think you can quite, you know, put a number to his just instincts and vision. And I do think he's a really special player. The other guy I like a lot, though, is Rashad White out of Arizona State. I think he's got some unique athleticism and burst. But I am interested, Andrew, to hear your controversial take on who your guy is.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? We've all struggled with mental health in different ways, especially during a pandemic, and I'm certainly no different. Keeping myself centered mentally is such a huge part of my overall health goals, and that's where BetterHelp has helped me. BetterHelp has the ability to assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas, and the service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist, plus you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. You can even schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't have to ever sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed, and it's more affordable than traditional offline therapy. Plus, financial aid is available if needed. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit betterhelp.com/packaday. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. And of course, we have a special offer for Packaday listeners, as you can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/packaday. The new year is a great time to focus on what's important to you. Whether it's saving money by ordering less takeout, learning to cook, or prioritizing your wellness, HelloFresh is here to help you with endless options to make cooking at home simple and enjoyable. Personally, I'm really trying to work on my weight this year, and when I found out that HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients right to my door, including farm-fresh produce that arrives within a week, I was all in. Skip the trips to the grocery store, saving you long wait times and ensuring you don't waste your money on excess food, and sign up for HelloFresh instead. HelloFresh has helped me eat fresher food with better portion control and has helped me live a healthier lifestyle. I highly recommend the teriyaki chicken tenders, by the way. So go to HelloFresh.com/Packaday16 and use code Packaday16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/Packaday16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Remember to use code Packaday16. That's HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
Well, I have no one who has a higher than a third round grade out of running back, so I really didn't like the class very much. But yeah, I have Kenneth Walker at the top, which isn't the surprising part. But then I really like James Cook. Breece Hall it's so funny to me. I had him as like RB10 because I hated the way he saw the field. But I have this metric set up that takes into effect both age and athleticism, and it shot him up from RB10 to RB3. So they were all really close. Gotcha. And then him being young and a crazy good athlete really helped him out there too. And I like Brian Robinson Jr. out of Alabama a lot as well, as that kind of, maybe modern day A.J. Dillon, if you will.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Yeah, I actually like James Cook too. I think he's kind of like the Channing Tindall, like his best football still ahead of him. He didn't play a huge role, but like as a third down back already, he's pretty good. And then I think he might have like a Alvin Kamara type of draft day rise where he didn't have all the carries in college, but then suddenly there, he's got that untapped potential. That's a good call.
So you guys have listed some really good names already, but Andrew already mentioned Kylan Hill and the ACL injury. We know the room is really rounded out at this point, but if you were Green Bay and there was a running back, you kind of alluded to it earlier, Dan, that you would take a flyer on as maybe running back 3, whether it's their special teams prowess or just a different wrinkle that they could bring to the offense. That's maybe something we haven't seen Jones and Dylan do as much. Is there anybody there that would catch your eye, and maybe what round would you take them in?
Yeah. The guys that kind of circled on the list, Spiller and Hall and Walker, they're all great, but I don't think they're in play for the Green Bay. I'm kind of looking for those smaller, quicker backs that could be that jet sweep type of player that we all wish they had again since losing Tyler Irvin, and doesn't seem like they filled that void. So I'm kind of looking for a tailback that can do, be a returner, play some slot, be a third down back. And James Cook is definitely on the high end of that. But if you're talking maybe if they address this position on rounds 5 or 6 or 7, I really like Tyler Beatty out of Missouri. Really productive, really fast, can be a dynamic kick or punt returner. And then maybe be like that jet sweep guy, because he's actually a really good receiver. So he's not big enough, maybe strong enough to be a 20 carry back, 20 carry game kind of guy. But they don't really need that. So, he's a guy that could play in the slot, to go into orbit motion and, get really creative with him. He's a lot like Tyler Irvin when Tyler Irvin was at his best. And then maybe kind of a totally wild card type of player here is DeQuandre White out of South Carolina. He's a guy that not a lot of people know about, and he was never a starter. Kevin Harris was the starter last year and kind of leapfrogged him. But DeQuandre White, and he, you know, also he didn't test. So at the combine, he had an injury. So, when you watch his tape, he's got electric speed, and he's also a great returner. And so he's not going to be a guy that's going to carry the full load, just like Beatty, but he's smaller, quicker, fast, great route runner, and has some experience being a receiver as well. So maybe that slot kind of jet motion player that can also give you some speed in the backfield.
Excellent. So thanks so much, Dan, for helping us get ready for the month of April, which gets really exciting, but always flies by as well. And then other than encouraging folks to go out and get the Cheesehead TV draft guide, anything else that you wanted to share with us?
Yeah, well, I used to share my Twitter handle, and I don't have Twitter anymore. So I'm kind of a hermit, but I'm actually going to write a few pieces for Cheesehead TV. I have one coming out in a few days about just some fits in the middle rounds for inside linebacker for the Packers. And then I'm going to write a piece next week about just what we're talking about, running backs that kind of fit that nice special teams mold. So, yeah, I'll write a few pieces leading up to the draft on Cheesehead TV, and then probably do a few pieces after. So I'm kind of exclusively a draft writer, I guess.
That's awesome. And your life must be so much more tranquil without Twitter in it.
trying to be, yeah. Between this and coaching and teaching, yeah. It gets busy.
Very jealous. But please, everybody, check out Dan's work in the Cheesehead TV draft guide, as well as those articles that will be upcoming on CheeseheadTV.com. But that is all the time that we have for today. This has been the Pack of the Day Podcast. You can find Maggie on Twitter at Maggie J. Loney, and you can find me at Andrew Mertig. Please subscribe and consider giving us a 5-star review. You can catch Kyle, Maggie, and myself every Friday. And next week, we'll be back with more off-season coverage. Thanks for listening. And as always, remember, go Pack, go. We'll